In return, cities would provide protection for the suburban population, anyone who lived outside the cities or who wanted to come in during a time of crisis, as well as a wide range of access to goods and services. We see at Uruk the existence of monumental architecture, just as we can imagine the size of the city expanding significantly from the Ubayid period, so does architecture expand on an equally large scale. As we saw at the Ubayid villages, at Uruk we see monumental architecture in the temple. Two temples at the city of Uruk have been excavated, a temple to the patron goddess Inanna, later known as Ishtar, and a temple to Anu, the god of the sky. As the excavation of the temples unfolded, it became clear that temples not only in themselves were significant in size, but that they were part of a complex. So they themselves are separated from the rest of the city. Once again, the artificial platform that raises them above the street level separates them visually from the life of mortals. The earliest temple at Uruk is about 80 yards by 30 yards wide. So just to give you an idea of the scale of this monumental architecture. During the second phase is when the temple precinct was set apart by a wall. So this makes the area more distinct, also more clearly demarcated, more formal. And what changes this meant for the rituals to the gods, we don't know. But it certainly means that the temple is the focus of the city's attention. They're willing to make sure that it has the largest amount of territory and the most important decoration. The temple of Anu was plastered with white gypsum over the mud brick. This gleaming white temple would have been visible far across the plain. This temple had a platform that was almost 30 feet high. We're now moving from a brief step or a short step above street level to a huge platform that very visibly makes the temple different than the homes of ordinary people. It's estimated that it would take almost 2,000 people 50 days to make this temple. So this is an enormous amount of labor. Temples in our earliest surviving literature are believed to be the house of a god, and cities themselves were believed to be the location where a patron god or goddess established their home. So cities belonged to a deity. In the mind of a citizen of Uruk, their patron goddess, Inanna, would protect them and would live with them. So this can help motivate the citizens, the people of Uruk, to make sure that her temple and the temple of other gods was the most beautiful, because everyone knew that this city belonged to Uruk, to Inanna, excuse me. As with the Ubayid period, we have no palace-like structure that has been identified. Doesn't mean that it didn't exist or that there was not a political leader, a non-religious leader, but we simply do not have any archaeological evidence for this. And we won't get any building that can be securely identified as a palace until the third millennium. This shows some of the limitations of archaeology. Perhaps we've just not been digging in the right place. Or perhaps a political leader or group of leaders did not need a separate house to show off their standing in the city. Ideas don't always leave physical traces for archaeologists to survive. From what does survive, it seems as if the managers of the city or the organizers of the city were associated with the temple. A lot of key ideas for bureaucracy occur at the temple, including writing, which we will discuss in more detail in shortly. Archaeologists have discovered the earliest example of bureaucracy, and this is seen with a number of different types of artifacts, including writing, at Uruk. So we'll come back and look at the bureaucracy, the bureaucratic function of the temple in more detail later on.